Thank you for joining me today on Labor Day here in the United States, as we meet on both coasts and then all the way around the world on the God Is podcast. Tomorrow, we are going to resume our pilgrimage through the Gospel of Matthew as we continue to discover who God is by asking this question: what does Jesus teach us about God? We'll be in Matthew chapter 5, and I'd like to recommend that you read ahead this evening so that by the time we get down into the text, you would have some background on it. Use some of your time today to pick up your copy of God's Word and read Matthew chapters 5 through 7, or if you're not able to read all three chapters, read chapter 5. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Given that today is a holiday and many of your fellow listeners are out of their usual routines, not working, for example, and so they are not listening, I want to save my opening comments on Matthew 5 for tomorrow, and take our time today to search the Scripture and comfort one another with this reality. If we are Christians, that is, if we have faith alone in Christ alone for the forgiveness of our sins, we love and obey Jesus, then we will see Jesus. God promises us right here on the pages of this Bible that we are definitely going to see our Lord. When you get down into the Gospels and you read and reread about the life and ministry of Jesus, don't you just yearn to see him, to be in his presence, to be touched by him, and to have all of his love for you just pour into your soul? And yet we read him, and then we have to put the Gospels down and go about our days and nights in this treacherously evil world. And there seems to be so great a wide, and at times ever-expanding gap between Jesus in the New Testament and our lives being lived out in this new century in which we exist. We can grow so weary, tired, and even disillusioned while we wait for that day, that moment when we see him. I know of many of you within the sound of my voice who are discouraged, even as Christians. Are you feeling down today? Well, what I want to do is to encourage you. So come along with me and let's poke around in the New Testament so that God guides us by his Spirit to show us his promises concerning how we, who live by faith in the Son of God, will see Jesus. And I want to start with Jesus himself. If you have a Bible handy, open it to John's Gospel in chapter 17, and you can insert one of your fingers at verse 24. In a moment, I will read John chapter 17 and verse 24. As you find your place, I'll tell you, or remind you, this is really the Lord's Prayer. And this is the one prayer above every biblical prayer that you ought to know very well, because this is the chapter in which we get a clear look in on the intimacy in prayer that Jesus enjoyed with God, his and our Heavenly Father. Many times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, when we are told that Jesus prayed, we do not have the specifics of what he prayed about, the words of the prayer. But here we do, and they tell us vast, wide, and deep truths about who God is. This is John chapter 17, and here at verse 24, listen to what Jesus prays for every person who will believe in him by faith. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. That was John 17, verse 24, and it is packed with truth. There's so much there. But now let's focus on this. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am. Jesus has desire, and he expresses that want to God. He speaks of those, quote-unquote, whom you have given me. Well, that is all the people that God the Father sovereignly and supernaturally chose to be slaves of Christ. The Bible teaches that God chose us and gave us the gift of faith so that we will believe on him who God sent. And Christ continues to pray that we will, quote-unquote, be with me where I am. And where is Jesus? He is now, as we speak, in heaven. He lives in heaven forever and forever, and that is where we will be with him always and forever, either at the appointed millisecond of our death or at the rapture, the snatching away of the church from this world. That's right. Jesus is going to snatch the church away from the world. This is what we call the rapture. Listen to Jesus pray, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am. If you are in Christ, you have been saved and redeemed by him, then you are going to see him, because you will be with him where he is. Now, doesn't that lift you up on this Labor Day?" This prayer is reminiscent of, it reminds us of, what Jesus promised us back in the 14th chapter of the same Gospel of John. John chapter 17 is well worth memorizing, as is John chapter 14. As you know, I love this 14th chapter, and these opening words have always been a significant help and encouragement to me. In dark times, Jesus' words here have brought the light to shine in the dark. I'm reading now Jesus again in John 14, verses 1 through 3. Hear now God's word to your mind, heart, and soul, my friend. "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What comfort and hope this gives us. What comfort and hope. And I hope you heard with clarity this in verse 3, "I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Question, according to the Bible, where is Jesus? Answer, he is in heaven. And he says, he promises that where he is, there we will be also. Think about that. Whatever else has been flooding your mind today, this past weekend, whatever is troubling you down here on planet Earth, right there in California, in Boston, in New England, across the country, around the world, wherever you're listening. Dear person of God, where Christ is, heaven, there you will be also. And that means you will see Jesus. In verse 1, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And in verse 2, he says he has gone to get to work on, to prepare a place for you. How about that? He is preparing a dwelling place for you. Your faith will become sight as you enter into the dwelling place, especially prepared for you, my brother in Christ, for you, my sister in Christ. We've been walking with our Lord in Matthew's gospel for quite some time now, learning everything we can from him about who God is, and we want to see him. Well, we will. Just a little longer now. Hold on. Be faithful. Do not give up or give in. Persevere. And what? You'll see him, because he will look right at you and speak with his beautiful and kind voice about you, whom God has given to him. I'd like to read Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21 here, and get the Apostle Paul's perspective on seeing Jesus, but the clock on my wall is staring me down, tick, tock, so I'll leave that for you. It's a holiday today, perhaps affording you some extra time. What better way to spend it than with the word there in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Philippians 3, 20 through 21. Please read it. What I want to do is read to you another verse from the writing of the Apostle John. And you should brace yourself in a good way, because this is a powerful promise. This is in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. 1 John 3, 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is." Wow, I told you to brace yourself. John details our reality. In the present, the here and now, life on earth as Christians, we are already the children of God. However, since we're still in this sin-sick world and it has not appeared what we will be. True, right? Hold on tightly to Jesus, though. John says, we know. That speaks of confidence. That affirms what we believe based not on feeling, but fact. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. Now, there's a lot in there. First, Jesus will appear. He will come again for us. Now, that's the rapture of the church I mentioned earlier. Remember what we just read in John 14. Jesus said, I will come again. Second, we will be like him. I wish I had the time to unpack that on this broadcast and podcast. I do not. I will say this means we will be conformed to his likeness. And then third, and I really hope you get this front and center on your mind and let it seep down into your heart and emotions. This should overwhelm you. John writes the truth. We will see him just as he is. Yes, praise the Lord. We will see him, and when we see him, we will see Jesus just as he is. Dear lover of Christ, have you ever been jealous of the first disciples and the apostles who saw Christ, who walked with him and talked with him, and who spent their days and nights with our Lord? I know I have. Have you ever thought, if I could just see him? Well, I bring you good news this day. You and I, we are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ in all his glory. We will be with him forever and forever and forever. So many forevers that we cannot say enough of them, because heaven is life without end. We will be with him forever. Heaven, eternity without end, and he is there. He is the centerpiece. We will bow at his throne and worship him and spend forever with him. Rejoice with me. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue to learn who God is.